We're watching Irma today, but we're also marking the 16th anniversary of the September 11th attacks.
Gerard Batiste.
Walter Barron.
Gerard A. Barbera.
Paul Vincent
In
Barbera.
New York today, the reading James of the William names Bardone. Of those who died.
Victor
One of them was a
Daniel
man who rescued
Barbosa.
People in the World Trade Center. Then President Obama talked about him at the dedication of the 9/11 Memorial and Museum in 2014.
They didn't know his name. They didn't know where he came from, but they knew their lives had been saved by the man in the red bandana.
The man in the red bandana was Wells Crowther. ESPN correspondent Tom Rinaldi told his story in the book The Red Bandana, A Life, A Choice, A Legacy. I spoke with Rinaldi last September and started by asking him to introduce us to Wells Crowther.
In a lot of ways, I think Wells was a very well-accomplished young man, but not a superstar. And it took a day that's indelible in the history of our country for Wells to make his imprint on this country and build his legacy. He's from Upper Nyack, New York, in the Hudson River Valley. Grew up there, was a wonderful athlete and honor student, went to Boston College, played Division I sports there as a lacrosse player, but was also a volunteer firefighter growing up. Idolized his father, Jefferson, and followed him into the Empire Hook and Ladder Company No. 1 ranks. And was that rare mix of athlete and firefighter through high school, graduated from Boston College, took a job in finance on Wall Street, and on 9/11/01, Jeremy was on the 104th floor of the South Tower.
And we'll get into what happened there because it is pretty incredible. But going back to the fact that he was a volunteer firefighter, you describe he and his father even fighting a fire at the home of novelist Toni Morrison on one Christmas day.
Isn't that remarkable?
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible how lives intersect and storylines do as well. Not only did they fight a fire together, Jeremy, Wells' very first fire call came on a Christmas morning, as you note. The first call that they get together, Wells is so anxious, he's screaming up to his father upstairs in the house, "Let's go, Dad, let's go, Dad." Ultimately, they get there. And for all the training he's gone through as a junior firefighter, now they get separated. And it was a massive fire in which Morrison's house was gutted. However, the Works of an American Master were in a protective safe in the house, and so she lost nothing. But that was ultimately Wells' first fire call with his dad.
And you describe in this book the moment when he got that red bandana that we heard President Obama talking about earlier. Tell us about that.
In most things, most matters of manhood, and I think a lot of sons can relate to this no matter their age, they look to their father as the example. And getting dressed for church one morning when Wells was 7 years old, he had a suit on and so did his father, Jeremy, but he saw that his dad had a pocket square in the breast pocket of his suit jacket and he wanted one as well. So Jefferson, his dad, went back to the bedroom to grab one, but then thought, I wonder if he's going to take that and blow his nose in it. Let me take a preemptive measure here and give him something else to blow his nose in case that moment arises during church. And he gave him a red bandana. Wells put it in his back pocket and essentially he kept it there for the rest of his life. He wore it underneath helmets when he played sports, wrapped around his head. He wrapped it around different parts of, let's say, hockey sticks and lacrosse sticks. He even had it in his back pocket when he wore suits to work.
And did you have a sense of why it was so important to him that he wore it for so long?
I think the answer there is just very simple, Jeremy, because his father gave it to him. Simple as that.
We're speaking with Tom Rinaldi, whose new book is The Red Bandana, A Life, A Choice, A Legacy. And it's all about Wells Crowther, who became famous because of what happened on 9/11. So tell us what happened on September 11th, 2001.
Like the more than 14,000 people that came to work in the towers that day, Wells showed up for a day at work at Sandler O'Neill on the 104th floor of the South Tower. He'd been working there a little under 2 years. Had just made the move to the trading desk. The South Tower, to remind those who I'm sure will remember, was the second tower to be hit. He remained in the building after the North Tower was hit. That was partially the instruction of the Port Authority, which came across the PA. But many in his office also remained. But ultimately, after the second plane hit, he left his mother a message. And then he made his way down the only functional stairwell left in the South Tower. He made his way down from 104 to the 78th floor, the Sky Lobby, which was where elevators left the lobby, went up as an exchange point, if you will, for people to take the more local elevators up to the highest floors of the tower. He saw a scene which is nearly indescribable, as many as 200 people who had been killed in an instant when the lower wing of Flight 175 burst through the 78th floor. And what he encountered there was fires and smoke and people who were terribly injured, and wrapping a red bandana around his face to keep his mouth and nose clear from the smoke and the acrid smell and everything else that was happening, Jeremy, he called out to people that he knew the way down. And a group followed him, including one woman, Ling Young. They walked down more than 10, then 15 flights, then 17 flights of stairs. At one point, Ling Young looked back at him, Jeremy, and saw that he was carrying a woman across his back while he walked down those flights. They got to 61, where the air had cleared. He put the woman down on the stairwell, looked at Young, and issued one sentence: "I'm going back up." They continued down. The woman did not, although Young implored her to go. Young ultimately would make it out to safety, which is a remarkable story in and of itself. Crowther went back up, led a second group, including a woman named Judy Ween, down those flights of stairs. He ultimately made it all the way down to the lobby, but did not leave, Jeremy. As someone with firefighting experience, he went to the command post and Assistant Chief Donald Burns and began to download all the information, all that he had seen, to try to let firefighters who were still making their way up know what they were going to encounter and how many needed help on 78. And ultimately, when the towers collapsed, his remains would be found months later,
right,
surrounded by the remains of other firefighters.
Do you think, after looking into this, that he knew that he wasn't going to make it out of there alive?
It's a question that we'll never have an answer to. What we do know is that he was 75 feet away from the rest of his life. But he didn't make that walk, which would have taken a handful of seconds. Instead, he stayed to help.
When President Obama spoke at the dedication of the National 9/11 Memorial and Museum in May of 2014, Ling Young, who you just mentioned, was there. The Wells family was there. This is his mother, Allison. Let's listen.
It is our greatest hope that when people come here and see Wells's red bandana, they will remember how people helped each other that day. And we hope that they will be inspired to do the same in ways both big and small. This is the true legacy of September 11th.
How did the people who he saved talk about him to you?
Ling Young accompanied Allison Crowther that day. That was such a difficult day for her, Jeremy. She had never returned to Ground Zero. And she did so out of tribute to Wells and out of love and connection to the Crowther family. Ling Young speaks about Wells Crowther in a way that is so deeply moving. Someone who owes her life to a young man and who was heartbroken when she did find out his identity and knows simultaneously, Jeremy, that she could never thank him in person. And it's very similar for Judy Ween, another woman who he saved. Judy has really never spoken about what's happened beyond the first few days. Her husband handles all of the interview requests, and we spoke to her husband, Jerry Sussman. And as he relates it, they essentially say the same thing. They're deeply indebted, but also heartbroken. And it's wonderful to see how these families have all connected with the Crowthers and still do very deeply to this day.
Tom Rinaldi, the situation that Wells was in was something that nobody can prepare for. Nobody knows if that's ever going to happen. As you were looking into his life, did you ever think about what you would have done if you had been in that situation?
Countless times. I started to think of all the people in my life. How many who I know would have made this choice? Then within that, there's a second calculus. How would my age affect that? If I would for one moment have that kind of courage, would I still have it if I had children, if I were married, if I had more people dependent upon me in my life? All of those things, which I would suggest, never went through Wells Crowther's mind. Obviously, pure conjecture here on my part from having studied his life and then written a book about it. But I think you develop a core and a character that is revealed in a situation of the ultimate stakes. And in this case, this is the decision that he made.
That's Tom Rinaldi talking about Wells Crowther, the subject of his book, The Red Bandana, A Life, A Choice, A Legacy. We spoke last year.